You're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
Today is an adventure in Lutheranism, and I've had a lot of adventures lately. It's been kind of fun. I think my adventure in Lutheranism of reading through the Bible wasn't that long ago. So
okay.
I'm
you're pushing your limits.
I am in for adventures.
Breaking new ground.
Proving that Lutheranism is indeed an adventure.
It's
yes.
True. And this one is definitely not about Bible reading. This one is about disaster and chainsaws. So
okay.
Nice.
A wide expanse of adventures mm-hmm. in my life lately. So this is an adventure in Lutheran early response teams and chainsaw training. So the backstory of this is that we have been interviewing Michael Meyer, so Pastor Michael Meyer and Pastor Ross Johnson, who are the disaster duo, the disaster pastors with the Office of National Mission, for I don't know how long, several years now on the coffee hour. And there's been all these trainings that I'll get into in a minute for being trained to be on these Lutheran early response teams and chainsaw teams for LCMS disaster response. And they hadn't really been ever close, like locationally, geographically close.
It's been a long week, people.
It's been such a long week.
And full disclosure, we're recording this a week before convention. We're all really tired. Nothing had been really close enough for me to go to. My husband went and did a chainsaw training like out in the middle of Missouri, but I wasn't into that at that point. And then at one point, we actually got one. Both Pastor Johnson and Pastor Meyer are members at my church. Mm. So we finally got a training scheduled at my home congregation. And before the recording before that, Pastor Meyer publicly shamed me for never having done.
Oh, no.
Wow. I mean, it was seems unlike him.
It was all in.
Actually, not necessarily. I also know Pastor Meyer, and he's a character.
Well, so now I'm getting to know him better.
He called me out. It was all in good fun. But okay. He called me out for never having done a training before, even though we've talked about it numerous times on the coffee hour. So we had one scheduled at Village. And at first I thought I wasn't going to be able to do it because our original Share-a-thon date was scheduled for that same weekend in April. But then we moved Share-a-thon and alas, I was able to do the Lutheran early response team and chainsaw training finally. So this is an adventure from a few months ago. This was back in April, but life has been really busy since then. So now is the time for the adventure of Lutheran early response training, chainsaw training. I will tell you all about what both of these are. So this happened back in April. I felt obligated to do this after I had been called out for not doing it before. And my husband had already gone through this. So he was already fully certified to do all of these things. I decided to do both the Lutheran early response and the chainsaw trainings. As of right now, that's actually three separate trainings. There's ways you can do different things around disasters. With disaster response, so the LCMS has disaster response. We go out and assist people in different places through local congregations after a disaster happens. A lot of this happens nationally. So like when tornadoes happen or floods, hurricanes, when all these things happen, we work through districts. There's district disaster response coordinators in every district. I think they're in every district. I'm pretty sure. We work through them, through local congregations, to have this response in communities where a disaster has happened. A lot of it is floods, but there's a lot of tornado stuff. When the tornado came through St. Louis last year, there was a far more immediate response that happened to that one because graduation was the day after that tornado. So that was a really wild experience. But we go out and we serve all of these places, and that happens through the districts. And there's these Lutheran early response teams that are deployed to these congregations in the districts, and they're the ones that actually volunteer to do the work. It happens fairly soon after a disaster happens, but these response teams, they get deployed months and years after disasters. I know the flood, I think it was flooding after the hurricane last year in North Carolina, I think, if I've got my timing right.
Hurricane Helene?
Yes. Helene. After Helene, there's still teams going out to North Carolina to do work out there. Because one of the things with disaster response is that the immediate response tends to be pretty robust just across the board. People want to help. It's on, you know, national news and people know about it. It's the response that's still happening months or years later that sometimes gets forgotten. And our disaster response teams are still being deployed to those areas for the long term, which is really cool. And it's part of the whole theology of why we even do this in the first place. So that's what the early response teams and the chainsaw teams are for, tree work, because it's fun to use chainsaws to like cut up trees and everything. It's also terrifying, which I will get to. So I wanted to do all of the training because I am a completionist. And if everything is happening, I'm going to do all the things. First reason. Also, a lot of disaster response, especially for floods, is mucking out houses. And I have an issue with mold. So I am probably not the best candidate to be going into flooded houses to clean out waterlogged everything. That would not be a good thing for my health. Mm-hmm. However, I am a fairly physically active person. Mm-hmm. I like being outside. I can handle power tools. So chainsaws were very appealing to me as something beyond like, I can do food and water distribution. Sure. I can do volunteer stuff. I can, you know, all of that. But for things that require a little bit more training, I can do chainsaws. That's, mm-hmm. you know, kind of up my alley. And also, we have a lot of trees on our property and sometimes, you know, things fall over and we need to cut them up. Mm-hmm. So it's useful. I now have a skill I can use around my own property as well, which is kind of nice.
But you also have a certification that like is useful as well, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, you actually do get fully certified. And I'll get to that when I go to the training. But I brought show and tell. I know this is a podcast, but I'll have to get pictures of this stuff. I brought my whole bag of goodies because they just showed up on my desk this week.
Nice.
So I have my certifications now and my identification cards, and I am official for all this. It's kind of fun. So like I mentioned, Reverend Dr. Ross Johnson is the director of disaster response. Reverend Michael Meyer is the director of disaster training. They were both at the training, which was kind of fun. This was held at my church. It was a large group, and it wasn't just us. It was people from around the general area, because these are kind of held regionally. So it was a decent sized group. Ricky Gross was also there. He ran the training. He climbs trees for a living. Like, he runs chainsaws like they're toys. It's really fun. And Chris Schultz is the Missouri District Disaster Coordinator. And we've had him on the coffee hour. So the two of them kind of ran the training. It's really cool what these guys know and the stuff that they've seen and the people they've been able to meet. They all have really, really interesting experiences and stories to tell about disasters that they've responded to and the people that they've met. So when you do these trainings, you are certified as a LIRT and or chainsaw member. And this is important because disaster areas, especially immediately, are usually shut down by local authorities. There's police and emergency response, the first responders that usually they block off the area so you can't get in because it's dangerous. And, you know, people want to go in and look at what happened, but it's just not safe. So you do actually get ID cards, and those will get you like into the actual disaster area to do the work that you're being placed there to do. Because there's a lot of coordination that happens between the district disaster coordinator and local authorities and local congregations and other organizations that also respond to disasters. So there's a lot of behind the scenes work that happens for these groups to go in and do the work, which is, I'm glad that there are people that know how to do that. So when that St. Louis tornado happened, it was the day before, it was the day of graduation. It was a day that graduation was scheduled to be, I think, and they postponed it to the next day. Okay. But that meant that they had to clear enough of campus for people to get in.
And there were a lot of trees down on campus.
There were so many trees down.
And Seminary is the school you're talking about.
Yes, Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that response happened a lot faster than it normally does because we're all here. So my husband was actually one of the people that he deployed immediately. I think it was the day of. Or it might have been Saturday morning. But it was right away, and they had chainsaw groups all over campus, and they cleared enough of it for graduation to happen on that Saturday. But boy, that was a very wild couple of days. And I know that disaster response was working heavily with Bethlehem Lutheran in North County with Pastor Gerard Bowling, because that was the area that was really most heavily hit around here. So you know, I mean, it happens. It happens quickly. It happens somewhat frequently some years. I mean, there's during hurricane season, there's usually there is probably going to be a disaster to respond to. And during tornado season around here in the Midwest, there I've gotten a lot of emails about going out and doing stuff, and even going out and doing more tree cleanup from the storms from last year too. So my experience, this was a Friday and Saturday party. Friday night was alert training, and then Saturday all day was chainsaw training. So the Lutheran early response training was Friday night. And this is for anybody who wants to serve on a team. You don't have to want to do chainsaws to do the response team training. This is like the basic training for anybody that wants to serve on one of these response teams. And so this was, I got this whole, you can hear my packet of all of these things I got. I have a training manual. Like this is legit stuff, guys. I have this training manual. Like two training manuals. The chainsaw one's real thick, and most of it is
about. Look at you geek out right now.
I did not die while using a chainsaw.
Very fluorescent.
Everything is fluorescent green with alert. It is all high vis because you want to be seen when you're
in the manual.
Even the manuals. Yeah. Yeah.
You want to be able to spot that and when the power's out.
It's true. Yeah. Yep. We walked through what LCMS disaster response is. Spiritual care, disaster grants. So LCMS Disaster Response also does a lot of disaster grants through congregations in districts. A couple of my congregation members have gotten them for like flooded basements after natural disasters have happened. So there is grant money for a lot of these disaster responses. And then they do congregational preparedness. So the trainings that I was a part of, and then lots of volunteer service, flood mitigation, so mucking out, like literally getting all the stuff out of a house, tearing out everything that's water damaged, food preparation. Sorry, not flood. Prepare the flood.
It's good to prepare for floods.
Preparing for floods. Food preparation for the people around. There's a Forged by Fire. This guy in, I think he's out of New Orleans, and he travels around in this gigantic food truck, and he makes like buckets, cauldrons. I don't know the appropriate term, but of jambalaya, and they just drive around vats. That's a good term.
Oh, nice.
Huge. They're huge. If you ever go to symposiums at the seminary campus here, a lot of times they show up for those and like feed everybody. It's really cool to see. So like that kind of food preparation, flood buckets. So there's a way that you can build these flood buckets that have just like cleaning supplies and stuff, and they hand those out in flooded areas.
We have a flood bucket because we live in hurricane area.
Yes, you do. Because that's cleaning up from a flood is kind of gross and could be dangerous depending on what's actually in the water. So
it is.
Yeah. So there's
ways. And the flood bucket comes with a watertight lid.
Yeah, which is good because you don't want all that stuff getting wet.
No, you don't.
Ironic.
I know. Tree removal, chainsaw ministry. I like that.
Chainsaw ministry? That's awesome.
It's great. I mean, you pray with people and then you chop their trees up and don't charge them money. Like, that's actually a really great thing to be able to do for people.
That is.
Home reconstruction ministry to children. So there's actually VBS things that teams can do with children after a natural disaster. If there's a lot of kids around, they can do a little VBS about, you know, dealing with disaster and the mental health things that happen with that, the grief and the challenges that happen for kids after something like this has happened. So, and Camp Courage, it's called Camp Courage, VBS teachers. So a lot of stuff that the disaster response does. A big thing though, when you're actually going into a community to serve after a disaster, is this mercy ministry of helping people. Like the whole thing with disaster response is helping people after some sort of physical event has brought suffering to a community. And, you know, there's a lot of theology behind this. I don't have to, there's a whole, like, I don't know, lots of pages in the manual about all this, but it really boils down to what we believe about caring for other people. You know, Christ loved us first. So we help each other. We're called to serve each other. We also have a very strong theology of the body, that the body is important. So we care for each other and their physical needs, their physical person. And first article gifts are given to us by God. And when disasters happen, those first article gifts get destroyed. And so we're helping people recover what they can or rebuild, preserve things, preserve their property. So there's all of this spiritual care that happens. And with that, the whole point of doing all of that physical care is also bringing Jesus to them. So these people may or may not know Jesus. A lot of them may not be Lutheran, but there's a lot of prayer that happens. There's a lot of studying scripture, sharing scripture, talking about where God is in the midst of all of this suffering. We have a very strong theology of the cross. We've talked about this before. And that really shines through in these disaster situations when people are just suffering. Like there is not a lot of good happening in a lot of these situations, but having that theology of the cross and being able to bring Jesus to these people in the middle of what they're going through is just, is a really beautiful thing to be able to be equipped to do. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge part of what we do. And so a very interesting thing that I'm not sure I really understood the difference between this when I did the training. I knew a lot of the training just because I've listened to the two disaster pastors so much on the coffee hour, but the difference between first response and early response. So these teams are called Lutheran early response teams on purpose because the first responders are the ones that respond within the first like 0 to 48 hours, the first day or two of a disaster. And they're usually the professionals. So they're the paramedics. Mm-hmm. Police, firefighter, they're doing the triage, they're, you know, checking for survivors or that kind of thing. And that is not what the Lutheran early response teams do. The early response happens after that first response. And so these are the responders that go in, that partner with local congregations, and they're doing a lot more of the caring. So the food and water distribution, helping with sheltering, cleanup and debris removal, basic repair, property protection, so that kind of thing. So it happens a few days to a few weeks later after there's been assessment and after the professionals have gone through and have cleared scenes so that they're safe enough for volunteers to come in and do the work that they need to do. So I thought that was an interesting distinction. I just hadn't really thought about it before, but that's where that name comes from.
Mm-hmm. That is really useful to think about because you're right. As capable as you are, even with your card that says you're a certified chainsaw operator, I don't want you to be the first person out after the hurricane clears through.
Right.
You know, like there are people who that is their job.
Yes.
And while I think, so it's great to know that there are levels and that each person has their own, each set of people has their own calling and their own appropriate level of response. And those first responders, once they come through, then the early responders can come through and then the later responders. And the response keeps responding until it's all cleaned up and put back to rights. And everybody can have a part to play in that.
Yeah, exactly. We talked a lot about personal protection when going into disaster areas. Like we said, it's not always super, I mean, it's going to be safe enough for people to be there because the first responders will make sure that you're not like at risk of imminent death going into a disaster area.
Down power lines.
Right. Like
You don't want to make more work for the first responders.
Exactly.
Exactly. That's why there's trainings for this. Actually, that's a really important point. Thank you for bringing that up. We don't want to become part of the disaster. So that is why there's training for people to do this appropriately to not create more work for the people who are responding. So like safety was a huge theme through the whole weekend. I mean, especially when you're working with chainsaws, but just in general, safety is like the number one thing for just your personal, how you're acting in these situations, checking for down power lines, especially if there's water around, always looking for, you know, if a tree limb is going to fall on you, or just being very aware and going into flooded housing, making sure you're appropriately, you have the appropriate clothing, the appropriate safety equipment for what you're going to be doing. You don't just like go into a flooded home and walk into 3 feet of water in the basement, not knowing what's in the water. Like that's a real bad idea. We don't do that. So like they talked us through like, this is kind of what would happen if you were mucking out a house and the protections that you would take, especially if that water has been sitting there for a few days. Like that's not good. There's a way that you're going to do that safely to help the people who are in the situation. But like you have to know what you're doing and to think through the situation first before you just kind of have at it. You don't really wing it in these situations. It's probably not going to end well. So, and that's what all this training.
To quote the Oregon Trail video game from the 80s, you've got dysentery.
Yeah. 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 You don't want that. So safety first, because that's real important. But everything beyond that is about just bringing mercy, the mercy of Christ to people. and making sure they know that that's why we're doing this work. Mm. We're doing this because Jesus loves us and we are loving them and Jesus loves them too, even in, mm-hmm. though they're going through really terrible stuff. So yeah, that training was really good. I think it was like 3 hours-ish, real reasonable. Anyone, I really encourage, like, if this is something that you're like, our area gets a lot of tornadoes or floods or, I don't know, derechos or whatever.
And every area has a natural disaster that it's yeah. prone to.
That's true. You're right. So anyone can do it.
Yeah.
You should do it. Y'all should do it. Get your church together, and we'll put links in the show notes for how to contact the disaster people to set this up. I also wanted to share, there was a whole pile. They gave us a pile of stuff. So we've got disaster response resources. It's this pamphlet that just has a whole bunch of everything that's available from disaster response. There's all these books and devotionals and the vests. You get vests to wear. You're very
fashion.
Mm-hmm. Flood bucket labels, survival kit tote bags, all of these things.
There are also more fashion.
There's also a lot of resources in Spanish, which I think is really cool. So
yeah, that is good.
Yeah, yeah. There's Spiritual Care Companion for times of disaster. So this is especially helpful for just kind of having something in your back pocket, literally, for hymns. This is full of hymns and prayers to use with people. So you don't have to like pull everything out of your brain. So there's psalms, there's hymns, there are prayers in here to use with people. So that's a really nice resource. There's 40 daily devotions of God's comfort. So this is just a devotional book that you can hand out to people, that you can use with people. You could even like use it in your church for 40 days of something. I don't know, like Lent. There's Bringing God's Comfort and Peace in Times of Tragedy. So this is it's a full like order of service for walking people through God's word during a disaster. And this is something that a layperson could lead. There's nothing that would bar a layperson from walking through this little order of service, like a family devotion kind of thing. Psalm, Bible readings, hymn, and a blessing, and prayers. So there's that. And then trusting in his love, another thing that they give out to people to hand out, you know, answering questions like, when bad things happen, and why does God allow suffering? And if something bad happens to me, is God punishing me for my sin? I mean, the real questions that people ask.
Yeah. Especially in the middle of a disaster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do I do when I feel like my life is falling apart?
Yeah.
I feel... I don't even need a disaster to happen to ask that question. Can anything good come out of bad things? Like real practical things to use when you're working with people who are in the middle of suffering. So a lot of resources. I have to say, I'm very impressed. They've put a lot of work into making sure this training is something that's really useful and really Christ-centered. And I really appreciate that. It makes it very accessible for people to do. Mm-hmm. So that was alert training. Chainsaw day. Okay. Oh man, it was an experience. I'm not sure I knew what I was getting into. I was terrified. I was like, do I really want to do this? This is terrifying. You have to have your own personal protection equipment. I mean, you could borrow it, but personal protection equipment is like super important. Speaking of safety. So you got to have like your helmet, your ear protection, your eye protection, your gloves, your chaps, which are the things you wear over your pants so the chainsaw doesn't literally cut your leg off. Chainsaw appropriate boots, so like steel toe boots so you don't cut your foot off. So all of that stuff. So that was a very important thing. We're like, make sure you have your PPE. Like, great. Okay. So the first half of the day, this was all day. The first half of the day, it was I thought there was going to be like a tiny group. It was a big group of us. I think we ended up splitting into three groups to do the practical part of it later. So there were a lot of people from like around the region. It was essentially tongue in cheek, but it felt like 4 hours of how to not cut your bone body apart while you're using a chainsaw and then 4 hours of practicing how to not cut your body apart. That is what it felt like. It was very safety focused. And that is great. Like, it is very important to be safe when you're using something that is a tool, but it is a very useful tool. It is also a very dangerous tool if you use it wrong. So I'm glad they put so much emphasis on like, this is how you start your chainsaw. This is how you pause the chain running while you're using the chainsaw so you can safely work with the people around you. Mm. This is how to watch the person that's using the chainsaw to make sure it's safe to actually approach the area where they're working. So it was a lot. It was a lot of safety. The safety training is really legit. There, we saw videos of like chainsaws cutting through hams, of like they put chaps over hams, and we're like, the chaps will help you, but it is still very dangerous. Like, this is what happens to your foot if you're not wearing a steel toe boot.
Okay.
I get it. I get it. I was like, I don't think I want to do this anymore. I am absolutely going to cut my leg off if I do this. No, it was fine. It was fine.
That's good.
And Luther was there with me, and he's like, Sarah, calm down. Okay. So yes, personal safety equipment, very important. There was just, I mean, it's a lot of very practical, like, this is a chainsaw and these are the parts of it. And this is how you take care of it so you can use it properly. And this is how mm-hmm. to make sure your chain is still sharp, because cutting with a dull chain is bad news. You want your chain nice and sharp, just like you want your cutting knives nice and sharp, because dull knives are also mm-hmm. bad news. So a lot of very practical stuff, ins and outs of cutting up a tree limb. There's physics involved with cutting up tree limbs, because if it's a large limb, you want to cut it up in an efficient and a safe way, so stuff isn't like flying off in weird directions or like
right.
or flinging. If it's still attached to the tree and you cut the wrong part of it, it could fling up and hit you. Like there are ways to like look at a situation and analyze how the limb is laying, if it's still attached to the tree, if it's going to roll a certain direction, if you cut it in the wrong way. So it was a lot of just like thinking through a situation, which was actually really fun. I like that kind of stuff. There, you used to do felling trees in this chainsaw training. So that's like actually cutting a tree down. They have since separated these things out to do like I did basic chainsaw training. There is an intermediate chainsaw training.
Okay.
So there are more classes you can do to learn how to safely cut trees down. It's additional science of making sure you don't like cut the tree down on top of somebody's house. You don't want to do that. You want to like cut it down in the proper direction.
Yes.
So there's additional training. There are multiple levels of chainsaw training now, which I very much appreciate. I would not have wanted to try to cut a tree down on that day. I was very overwhelmed with all the information I had already gotten. Mm. So so it's really good. And there's
so
a lot
what
of
did you cut up instead?
Tree limbs. So this was tree limbs that are on the ground already. Okay.
Right.
That is what we learned how to do.
Did they collect them and bring them there? Or did you go to a place where there were tree limbs?
We went to Concordia Seminary because there were still trees down.
Wow.
Okay. I don't remember how many were down. It was like 20 trees or something that were still down on the campus. It was, if you know the campus, it was next to Big Bend Road. So it's kind of out of the way, but still trees down on the campus. And they were like, we're going to cut these up. So yeah, we went to Concordia Seminary for the afternoon. I got to cut up a pretty big tree trunk. It was like 2 feet across. It was like, Luther measured it. It was like 22 inches. It was real cool.
I feel like you could say it's
it was pretty close to 2 feet.
Only Luther would be like, no, it's not 2 feet. It's only 22 inches, Sarah.
2 feet across.
So we first started in our groups just by like practicing starting the chainsaws, because typically people have gas chainsaws. We have electric everything. So I got off easy on that one, because I'm like, I literally just push this button on my chainsaw and it starts because it has a battery.
And that is actually the next generation of outdoor power tools. It's really hard to find gas powered anything these days.
Yeah,
the batteries have gotten really good and people like them better.
Our instructors were pretty impressed with the power of the chainsaw. It was kind of, it was fun. Yeah. And I feel safer using an electric one just because of the functionality of it. And there's less you have to do to make the chain stop. So it was just, I felt a lot more safe using it. I did successfully start the gas chainsaw though, because that was part of the course. You had to start the gas chainsaw.
Yes.
So I did do that. Okay. I didn't have to use it to cut.
And you didn't tweak your back or dislocate your shoulder or anything?
No, I didn't.
That's excellent.
It was excellent. Yeah, I've never pulled a chain like that on any kind of equipment before. Uh-huh. So that was
really
so that was fun.
Should come mow my lawn.
We have huge mowers because we have like 2.5 acres of grass.
Right.
To mow, so, yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah. So we started by cutting like tiny little branches, like 1 and 2 inches across. Like I use my loppers for this size, but that's okay. You're like learning how to cut properly along the tree, right. the tree branch, learning how to like look for where the appropriate cuts are. And then we got to the big tree. Mm. It was a big one. So I got to cut through that. And so Luther was very impressed. He was just like hanging out with us because he liked hanging out with us. Because he'd already done the training. Uh-huh. But he was very impressed with how straight I cut my first tree trunk. It was very straight. And I was like, I didn't know that's cool. So he made me cut a cookie off the end of it. So if you're cutting stuff and then you cut like a slice off of the tree, you call it a cookie. So I cut a cookie off and it's sitting in our sunroom now.
Aww. Sarah's first cookie.
Yeah. So we're going to do something with it. But I have a cookie from my first chainsaw cut. And Yay. Luther was really proud of me.
That's cool.
I was so hot and so tired and so sweaty by the end of it. Because you're wearing long pants, steel toe boots, long sleeves, gloves, a helmet, like you're fully decked out.
And you're not standing still.
You're not standing still. And chains, even my electric chainsaw, gas ones are even more heavy, but even the electric one it's not light with the battery on it. Right. It's a decent size and you're doing physical work to cut these trees up. I was so tired, but I was so happy that I did all that work. And I highly recommend, unless you're like terrified of chainsaws. It's a really cool skill to have. It's a cool class to go through. I was not the only woman there. I was wondering if I was going to be, but there were other women there. So ladies, don't think that just because you're a woman, you can't do it. You can totally do it. And it gives you another skill to do especially if you're in an area that's prone to a lot of down trees, tornado kind of stuff for disasters. And you can always travel. There's places to sign up. This is the part. So if you're interested in doing all of this, you work through your local district for all of this. And the website is lcms-lert.org. And that's where you sign up for all the trainings. You can favorite your district that you're in or like the districts around your district. So I think I have Missouri and Southern and Central Illinois on my list because they're not too far away from here to do all the stuff. And then you can sign up for your trainings and then you'll get emails about the opportunities. If you like to travel places and there's different districts in the US that you're like, if there's a disaster in North Carolina or Florida, I would like to be able to go there because I've got an RV and I can travel and I know people down there or whatever. Right. So you can favorite other districts too and then launch with those teams to go. So churches can create their own teams. There's churches in the St. Louis area that have disaster teams. And there's a way that you structure that with the Missouri district. This is all very structured. There's a way to structure that so you have an official like team. But you can just deploy on your own too. You sign up to just be an individual person that's responding to go help with a certain deployment. And you can just go by yourself. So you don't have to be a part of an individual team in order to be a part of this. So there's a couple of ways you can do it. But that's kind of all I had. I did want to show you guys. We'll put pictures of all this on social too. Hopefully I remember. I have my official Lutheran Early Response Team basic LERT training and LERT chainsaw safety and operations training. So I have certificates and I have like these are legit ID cards.
Mm, wow. So
these are going in.
Yeah, that's not just like a laminated piece of paper.
No, they're like credit card weight. So they're
disaster proof.
They are plastic.
Yeah.
Oh, it's got a Michael Myers signature on it. Look at that. Aww. Yep. The chainsaw one has a little baby chainsaw on the front of it too. Aww, it's so cute.
That's adorable.
And the blade says LERT chainsaw. I love it. So bottom line is this is really cool work that the LCMS does. We respond in a way that is a little different from other people just because of our theology. And I think it's super cool and highly recommend to anybody that has a little space in their life for disaster response and a way of serving people that's different than a lot of other ways we get to serve people. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
You're making me wish I had a little space in my life so that I could do chainsaw training too.
Because
one of my favorite memories as a teenager was when my grandpa just handed me his chainsaw and said, here, cut this, you know, and it's so empowering to be able to feel like you can actually operate a piece of rather sophisticated and powerful equipment like that. And to be able to do it in such a way that allows you to love and serve your neighbor in crisis and open opportunities for the gospel, like even better. I'm just I'm so happy you got to do this.
Yeah.
And you're right. This is perhaps the most adventurous adventure we've actually covered in this series so far. But it's so cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love how intentional they are about including the ministry side of it and yeah. the caring mm-hmm. for caring for the whole person in the middle of this disaster that has come upon them.
Yeah. When you first said chainsaw ministry, I was like, can we actually call this chainsaw ministry? But Aaron, you are so right.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know Pastor Johnson and Pastor Meyer have stories about places they've visited, and there's people who have just experienced a tornado or hurricane, and you know, they have tens of thousands of dollars of tree damage on their property. Mm-hmm. And insurance frequently doesn't cover that kind of thing, or very little of it. And so when we're able to come in and clear those trees for them for no cost, I mean, that is life-changing kind of response that we're able to give people. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's really important work. It's just really great. I get chills when we talk about it all the time. It's just so awesome. Cool.
that's really cool. And those resources are a cool thing for you to be able to add to your repertoire as a deaconess as well, to have all of this. You're equipped in this way, and I'm guessing you'll find ways that you can use some of those things even in other situations.
Yeah, I think so.
So
I joked with Luther if I should get chainsaw garb. I don't know that that's really
neon
the use.
Green.
I forgot about that. You get identified when you come in as alert volunteer. Mm-hmm. And so everyone, when you complete the course, gets a disaster response t-shirt that is in fact fluorescent.
It is.
And it says disaster response LCMS on the back. So that's you are weird. Highly identifiable mm-hmm. when you're mm-hmm. in a disaster response area, partially so that the authorities know who you are and partially for safety so people can see you. So,
fantastic.
Brought a bag of goodies. That's it. That's all I got.
Cool.
We'll put the link in the show notes. If you want to learn more, the link to lcms-alert.org and also just lcms.org/disaster that has a lot more of just like the philosophy of what happens in the building about LCMS disaster and like different news stories and things too. So,
and if you have done alert training, chainsaw training, done any kind of disaster response, or if you end up listening to this episode and going out and doing this and have photos, those should go in our Facebook page.
Yes.
Facebook group rather. Yeah. So that we can all see and celebrate how awesome you are.
Mm-hmm. Yes, agreed. Mm-hmm. Yes, please do that. Share your photos with us, share your stories with us on the episode post, or just like make them your own post. That's fine. We like that content. Aaron will approve it.
That's right. That's right.
You can join us in our Facebook group, the Lutheran Ladies Lounge, or on our Instagram page at Lutheran Ladies Lounge. You can also find all of our episodes at kfuo.org/Lutheran Ladies Lounge or on your favorite podcasting app or on the KFUO radio app. You're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Aaron.
And I'm Rachel.
Views and opinions expressed on the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO Radio, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The Lutheran Ladies Lounge is produced by KFUO Radio and available at kfuo.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and leave a review for us too. If you love the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast, consider financially supporting our producer, KFUO Radio, so we can keep doing what we do. Find out how at kfuo.org/give. Hey, ladies, this is just an editor's note. Since we recorded this episode, the Reverend Dr. Ross Johnson has accepted a call to serve in a parish again as pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fairhope, Alabama. We are so thankful for all of the work that he did with LCMS disaster response over the last several years, and he has put so much work into this. It's really been a great resource, and it will continue to be a great resource and a great ministry with the LCMS. You can still find everything you need to know about LCMS disaster response at lcms.org/disaster. And we wish Pastor Johnson all the best as he serves God's people, and God's blessings on him and his family and his congregation as he serves them with the love of Jesus.